This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Payer Issues podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Caroline Carney, Chief Medical Officer of Magellan Health. Dr. Carney, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, I know we'll talk a lot about the growth of Magellan Health as well as what you're looking forward to in the future, but before we dive into that discussion, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Oh, absolutely. I am currently serving as Chief Medical Officer for Magellan Health. And I think the role of a Chief Medical Officer, mine and many others out there, is quite diverse. I bring to the role a background in clinical medicine. I'm a board certified internist and a board certified psychiatrist. I also have a background in academics and epidemiologic research, working at the interface of medicine and psychiatry, and looking at delivery of services to individuals who have mental illness. I have experience as well working within a state Medicaid agency as the medical director for a state Medicaid agency's program and in managed care for some number of years. So bringing all of those together as a whole, I think these experiences really looking at the whole person, whether that is how that person exists in society and how they receive their services, what their medical needs are, what their behavioral health needs are, and how the health system is being navigated really sets me up to face the challenges we're seeing in healthcare today.
That's a really great point and, you know, fantastic background in terms of looking at the clinical side as well as managed care side, and then marrying that with, you know, the behavior health, which I know is a huge topic of conversation today. What do you see as being some of the biggest shifts within that, I guess, setting of behavior health and mental health right now in terms of how the pandemic is affecting members and patients, as well as, you know, some of the healthcare workers that are going through the pandemic right now?
I think that is probably the most pressing issue that we're facing as a society with the increasing rate of COVID due to the Delta variant across the country and the rising rates of mortality and hospitals that are full. Our healthcare workers are truly experiencing the worst of the worst in what is happening right now. So I think if there is a group that is emblematic of the need for behavioral health care services brought on by COVID, it's our frontline healthcare workers. And research has supported that point of view, showing that many of those workers, especially those facing burnout, are those frontline providers. And the lower in a position an individual is in the healthcare system, so compared to, say, a frontline MD or a frontline RN, the individuals who are orderlies, the individuals who are nursing assistants, those coming in and out of the rooms and who are at lower socioeconomic status, those individuals are even hit harder by what they're seeing day in and day out in the hospitals. And so across the board, from physicians to the folks doing the hard service jobs every day, we're seeing issues that behavioral health services certainly can help. I think that the kind of services that we need really have to focus on trauma-informed care because they are facing a great deal of trauma, particularly with the climbing mortality rates from the previous upsurge of COVID and now the current upsurge. I am particularly worried about getting services to these individuals, given the hours that they're working and often challenges accessing care. That challenge accessing care has to do with just the general availability of behavioral health services for the whole population today, let alone for these healthcare workers. The need for services has climbed due to COVID. The epidemiologic data suggest increasing rates of depression, anxiety disorders, alcohol use, death from opioids, and suicidality. So with all of those on the increase, that need for behavioral health care professionals is higher than ever. and is something that we really are working to try to solve for at Magellan in getting services to members in new and different ways.
That's really interesting to hear, and so many great points by you about how healthcare workers are trying to manage the COVID-19 surges, as well as, you know, when they're facing burnout and having access issues to some of the behavioral health and mental health services that they might need. So it's great to hear that Magellan Health has been working on solving for that and providing that kind of access to care that they need. How are you thinking about growth for Magellan Health over the next 12 months or so?
Well, in the last 18 months or so, since our new team led by Ken Fasola as our CEO has been at Magellan, we really have been evolving into a payer solutions company, bringing our years of experience in the behavioral health field, the resiliency field as directed at our armed forces, our pharmacy solutions, and our specialty medical management groups, bringing all of those forward into this kind of solutions focus as we exited being a health plan per se. And so I think we're really incredibly positioned for growth in many of these areas. Ken Fasola, like I said, Mustafa Kamal, who has our pharmacy business, and Jim Murray, who's president of Magellan Health, have really articulated their visions for bringing these solutions, which look at creating efficient and cost-effective operational supports to play. So for instance, in behavioral health, as I just stated, those areas are so incredibly critical right now, whether that is in a more public market space directed at low-income populations or in the commercial space. We're solving for access and availability issues, using new techniques, whether those are collaborative care initiatives, app-based support with wraparound managed experiences through case management, so that someone is not just ever handed an app and said, here, go fix yourself with this app. We believe in an ecosystem of care that has to have that inclusion of a real human supporting the use of an app or supporting the use of technology in this space. So our solutions have been around creating the ecosystem of care for behavioral health, starting with stratification and getting individuals into the right kind of care, whether that is truly app-based with case management support in the background, supporting primary care delivery of services through collaborative care, and getting individuals who need help in the public market system or the specialty psychiatry system into that right kind of care for those who truly need that level of care. So across the board in BH, our real focus is on getting individuals into care and supporting the providers and delivering that care. Along the line with that, we have brought in advanced analytics to do predictive modeling around those pressing issues like suicidality. So for instance, we have predictive modeling capabilities that will find individuals at high risk for suicide, and we can reach out to those individuals and put tools in their hands to help us follow them, to push messaging out to them, and to identify early on if we're seeing changes in their behavior, changes in their responses to screens and to questions, and find individuals before they might actually have a suicide gesture. So that's a huge area for us. Similarly, as individuals are discharging from inpatient facilities and residential facilities, we're targeting those individuals with high suicide risk to put the same kind of app-based supports in their hands, that feedback information to our case managers, so we can keep a closed loop of contact with those individuals to, again, provide them the kind of services that they need in an ongoing fashion. I'll take a beat and then switch paths to talk about what we're doing in our pharmacy management program. Magellan has both a PBM and a specialty drug management program, along with medical pharmacy management. And as we all know, the rising cost of drugs, especially specialty drugs, is creating a huge issue of expense in the healthcare market. So our solutions are designed around understanding what is in the pipeline and creating the right kind of solutions supported by case management programs to get the right medication into the right individual, supporting that individual with symptom management, and supporting those individuals with adherence programs. One of the things that has always been troubling to me is stories that I hear about individuals who may receive these very high cost drugs and they're paying their co-pays for them, but they develop side effects or symptoms and they don't end up then using the drugs. The drugs sit and get stockpiled in some cases. And so then there is a poor outcome for that individual from both a clinical perspective and a financial perspective. So our programs really are to reach out to individuals at the time of first prescription and support them along the way through their health journey. And then finally, in our specialty business, we're driving down the cost curve in areas as diverse as radiology to genetics to sleep solutions. So again, it's an idea of getting the right services to the right individual and helping that individual use those services properly. So like the same concept with a specialty drug, if we have an individual, say, who has sleep apnea, along with sleep apnea, often are many other symptoms like insomnia, like depression, like just general malaise. So case management programs can help support those individuals and overall help lead them to better health.
That's great to hear. It sounds like you've got a lot going on at Magellan Health and really some great services and programs that will serve an important mission of making sure that so many different people have access to mental health care and behavioral health. Now, what other issues are interesting today for you in healthcare? What are you following and really keeping a close eye on?
That's a great question. So probably like most of us, every day I'm following the pandemic. And the advice that I give other people, I put into play myself. I read the original science and look at the surveillance work as best that I can. I think we are obligated to read beyond headlines. And too much of the time, people will read a headline and make a judgment about something without really understanding populations being looked at and how those results can be extrapolated to the rest of the population. So pandemic, I think, is number one. But the non-pandemic issues that I'm following right now, it's hard to narrow down. But the first is probably emerging therapies, including gene and cell therapies for the treatment of a wide range of conditions. In behavioral health, I'm looking at therapies like neuromodulation and the use of psychedelic drugs in treatment. I think that the latter will put further focus on the confluence between medicine and public policy as we look at how do we transition science and the use of psychedelic drugs into the treatment space. So I think that's a really interesting area to look at and to follow. I'm also looking at digital therapeutics and supports and whether over time we'll actually see the cost effectiveness and outcomes of these type of supports in controlled trials, as well as real world settings. We often see data come back saying someone has had an improvement in depression or an improvement in anxiety. And the general course for many treatments, say in behavioral health, is that there's a huge placebo effect. So whether or not the digital supports are actually producing the kind of symptom improvement we would like to see, I think can really only be measured in controlled trials. And my focus at Magellan is to partner with and use those organizations where we see that kind of evidence coming out of digital therapeutics and supports. And then I'm going to take another spin on COVID and it's that epidemiologist in me. I am looking at surveillance data coming out of COVID in 2020 and now early 21. We have seen this increased burden of mental health symptoms and suicidal ideation in key age groups like the 18 to 29 year olds and unpaid caregivers. And we're seeing increased rates of alcohol use. That is the area that I am really particularly concerned about. If we have seen increased alcohol use by many different metrics, whether that's sales of alcohol in the United States or reports from survey data, we are now seeing increased rates of hospitalizations for alcohol-related medical and behavioral complications. So just because the country opens up, for instance, someone who has developed misuse problems with alcohol during the earlier parts of the pandemic, just because the country opened up doesn't mean that that misuse automatically goes away. Addiction doesn't work that way. Once it has a hold of someone and many individuals, it sticks with those individuals. And we're seeing that, like I said, in the hospitalization data. So I am worried about what we will see as the long-term health complications outside of COVID itself, either in behavioral health or in medical conditions related to behavioral health. I think we'll see signals in those data that tell us where we need to plan and where we need to build up service delivery. So as we've talked all along in behavioral health, I think it will be especially critical to build up service delivery in the space of alcohol use disorder and other use disorders. And the final signal in the data that we're seeing coming out of COVID are decreased rates of preventive care services, whether those are cancer screening services or childhood immunizations. The pandemic definitely caused a dip in those services. We've seen through data that the use of mammograms has come back to near normal levels, but colorectal cancer screening and childhood immunizations are still dipped well below where they should be. So again, reading those kind of signals in the data, I think we may need to expect to see conditions like measles have a surge if this group, this young group of kids, does not get vaccinated with the normal childhood vaccines, and eventually could see increased rates of cancer from either missed diagnosis or missed preventive care because of the pandemic.
That's so interesting to hear about, you know, looking ahead and some of the other effects of what's going on with the pandemic and how people are behaving and some of the long-term impact of that as well. Now, Dr. Carney, I'm wondering, is there anything you're excited about today?
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about the shift toward caring for the whole person in the integrated way. I think the country has come around to a recognition. Employers have come around to this space. Insurance companies have come around to this space where they really know that we have to pay attention to whole person care and that the behavioral aspects of an individual's life, the social aspects of an individual's life, and the medical aspects of an individual's life, influenced by cultural issues, ethnic issues, all come together. And in order to get it right, we have to take care of all of those areas. So I am so excited that the recognition of this is at its highest level ever in the country and will really open up the kinds of solutions we can bring forward, ultimately to increase health literacy, to prevent chronic disease and fatal conditions. I think we have, you know, whether the pandemic has brought any good, if there is any good to come from the pandemic, it is really in highlighting this whole person care need. So super excited about that. I'm very excited about the new frontiers in medicine, like the mRNA-based therapies that brought us the vaccines and other cell and gene therapies. As we begin to learn more and more and more about the genetic aspects of diseases, where science will find targets and new treatments for a wide variety of conditions. I think this is one of the most exciting areas of all to look at. And it's kind of like bringing the science fiction of old into the reality of now. And I think what we'll be seeing in terms of diagnostics and therapeutics in the years ahead, just incredibly exciting to look at. So those are two areas that I think we'll see a lot of really interesting changes in. And I do recommend that we follow and better understand as a community the mRNA technologies and all the potential they can bring to treating disease. I think those are game changers in the long run.
Absolutely. That's great to hear. And really, obviously, like you said, an important shift to looking at the whole person in medicine and then some of the different therapies out there. Finally, before we wrap up here, is there anything else that's making you nervous right now?
Outside of the pandemic, it's what the COVID virus will do as it continues to mutate. I'm really worried about that. I'll end where I started, which is I'm concerned about the health of our frontline medical workers. They are diligently fighting this every day. And I have to say that they are at the crosshairs. The thing that distresses me the very most, which is how science and medicine became so politicized in the last year and a half. We live in an unprecedented time. We don't know the answers for everything. We know a lot more than we did a year ago. But seeing the sanctity of the scientific method and research just be clawed away at for political reasons really has made me distressed. I recently saw some Twitter feeds attacking a physician whose work showed the difference in lung scans between persons who were vaccinated and had breakthrough COVID and those who were not vaccinated. And the results were, you know, remarkably different in the vaccinated lung looking less ill than the unvaccinated lung. And instead of having praise for this kind of work advancing our understanding, this physician's work was just ripped apart on Twitter and called false and made up and how images can be distorted and. That's really concerning because we need to have researchers continue to push the boundaries to help us understand this and to maintain that sanctity of the scientific method that has got us this far in medicine today. So that's probably the greatest distress I have. There's science and there's opinion. And I'll say it again, I encourage everyone to read beyond the headlines and look for what the truth is in the articles.
Well, on that note, Dr. Carney, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really informative and important discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been an honor to be here. And I look forward to talking again with you in the future.